Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast dedicated to telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's not true. You lie all the time.
No, that's just in your head.
You're gaslighting me again.
That's not even a thing. Gaslighting doesn't exist.
Maybe, but divorce does. Here are two guys who, despite what you might think, are in good enough shape to be astronauts. Matt and Doug.
It's a solar panel for the extra vehicular activity.
Yes. Yes.
You got to have that paunch. You can't qualify for NASA without the paunch.
They designed the suits just for that paunch.
So that's Matt. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good, man.
And before we jump into housekeeping, one of the things I pride myself, if there's anything I can pride myself about regarding this podcast, is that we are honest. If I could speak,
honest.
We're honest with our listeners. You know, we tell the truth. We call it like it is. You like the company of men. It's fine. We don't have a problem with that. We just say what's out there. But I feel like we've been a little bit dishonest with our audience.
How so?
Because for the first time ever, going into this podcast, I am basically four movies ahead.
Okay. I'm one and a half ahead.
Into next season already, which, yeah, by the way, I will need a headshot for. But just so you know, sometimes, depending on vacations and whatever, when we get to what the movie reveal is, we already know that.
Yeah, we know 4 weeks in advance to this point, which normally that doesn't happen.
No, normally it doesn't happen. Never that far in advance. And I got burned by getting too far ahead, because then you have a fucking movie that you have all the notes for and all the clips for. So if anybody wants to do a Christine podcast, reach out to me. We can do that. So. But let's jump into housekeeping.
And now it's time for podcast housekeeping.
My week, I will go first. I had talked about, in reference to you being on vacation with you being at Mount Rushmore and stuff, I talked about how sometimes you get to a place, and I think you actually said the Mona Lisa or the Eiffel Tower, things you've seen so many times, it's kind of like, whatever. I've seen it before.
Stop playing with your squeaker.
Yeah. I was about to yell, but I think it's been taken care of. And
yeah,
there's this from vacation.
Okay, let's go. Come on. Where's Edna?
She's in the car.
Good. Come on, kids. Get your butts in the car. Go.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon?
Great.
And now it's the entire stop at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Now I think if you go to the Grand Canyon, you can't even like park near it. You have to park a mile away and take a shuttle to it.
So I went there, gosh, probably in the early 80s was when I was there.
Nah, I've never been.
Okay. It's a big hole in the ground.
It is. It is a big hole in the ground. We talked about Jen and the priest and how the reason why she didn't have pictures of her in her bra and panties taken by the man of the cloth was because she was a strong and confident woman.
You don't need to smoke. Cigarettes don't control you. You are a strong, confident woman who does not need to smoke.
Yep. Okay, movies with characters named Ram. Any guess? I could come up with three. Hold on a second. And two of them we've done.
Ram, what, the Heathers movie? Tron, and then I don't know the other one.
20 years.
It is?
Non-80s movie we did.
Oh, Ram. I don't know.
Super Troopers.
Oh, I've already forgotten that movie.
And then a shitload of Indian films.
Well, sure. Other Judds that we didn't get?
Okay.
Judd Apatow.
Oh, yeah.
And then Judd Omen. Do you know what he was in?
The Omen?
No. Red Dawn and Pee Wee. He's the one in Red Dawn that's like, yes, Colonel. Yes, Colonel. Okay. Yes, Colonel.
You know, there actually was a Judd that was in the news today.
Oh, really?
Got arrested for being topless in public.
Is this one of the Judd's kids?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't had time to research it, so I don't know any more information on that.
All right.
PM Magazine mm-hmm. ran from 78 to 91.
Wow.
Dennis Miller appeared as an Andy Rooney type personality at the end sometimes, but do you know who was not on PM Magazine?
Gary, whatever his last name is.
Collins. From this week's movie.
Yeah.
He actually hosted something called Our Magazine from 80 to 88, which was on after PM Magazine in the Milwaukee market.
Okay.
And then just let me finish up on my Gary Collins bit. He was in Alf, Love Boat, and Houston, We've Got a Problem, which was an Apollo 13 TV movie.
Ah.
And only appeared in one movie post Hangar 18, which was called Watchers Reborn with Mark Hamill.
Hey, how about that?
So there's
Watchers Reborn. Wondering if I saw that at the drive-in.
I doubt it. I think it was a 90s film.
Okay. I saw Corvette Summer with Mark Hamill at the drive-in. That was the opener for Capricorn One.
And, oh God, wasn't the secretary from Ghostbusters in that?
It's possible that she was.
Annie Potts. Yes.
See, you beat me to it. I said it first, but when you listen to the podcast, it'll sound like you said it first.
Oh, well.
Ty Cobb did not beat a guy with his fake leg. He beat a guy with no hands.
Oh, okay. Sorry. James Horner. He did the music to last week's movie.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess how many James Horner films we've done that he scored?
Oh, boy. 19.
Well, let's not get insane here. 19. Yeah, 9. He did 9.
Okay.
Can you name them?
No, God. Star Trek 2, Beastmaster.
Actually, Beastmaster is not on there.
No, it's not?
Nope, he did not do Beastmaster.
Oh, Krull? Oh, God. Hot Dog the Movie?
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
The Hand.
Okay.
Uncommon Valor.
Yeah.
Commando, obviously. Aliens,
okay.
Glory, and The Rocketeer.
Huh.
And you'll notice that all but one of those are your films.
Yeah, you did The Hand.
Yes.
You the shittiest movie out of all of those you picked.
Yeah, you probably got me there.
All right. Joey asked his wife if she's ever farted into her vagina before. She has not.
Yeah, that was a big discussion that I'm not ready to have yet.
You're not?
No, it's the jury's still out. There's been a lot of discussions about it. I don't know. I just don't know.
Is she going to try now?
Maybe she'll come on for like a minute to explain this. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Tim Kazurinsky was on SNL for 3 seasons, as well as being in 3 Police Academy movies, starting with the second one. Can you guess how many Betamax Rewind films he's been in?
I don't even know who this is. So,
okay. He was in Somewhere in Time and Continental Divide. So, 2.
Oh, all right. Okay. Ashley Judd. We talked about her shattered leg, and it was a 55-hour rescue in Africa while researching bonobos, which is a type of ape. And she does not look good. It looks like her face is all puffy from all the plastic surgery.
Okay. You said Demi Moore is kind of mannish,
mm-hmm.
yet you have a thing for Jennifer Garner.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know. I like those big eyes, I guess.
Kind well, shins.
You and I have yeah, something well, in common, okay. don't we?
Touche.
In last week's movie, Radong Chong was reading the instructions on the rocket launcher. That's how she was able to launch it. And we brought this up.
Paul Pin.
Miller, what are you doing?
Extend. Pull opening.
Wow.
Billy! Release safety.
Billy!
Aim through there. Push this.
Fuck Rambo.
And of course, that was Judd Reinhold from Crazy People.
Yes. And Danny DeVito.
Forgot to say, I did say thanks to Sandy, but I forgot to say that she was having some problems with her voice because she was bitching about getting old. And she said she'd been sick because she had to have her throat scraped.
Oh.
And I totally forgot to say, it's like, I guarantee her husband has a tool that could have done that for her at home.
Or you could have provided it for free.
She and Jen are friends too, so.
Okay. All right. Is it back to my turn?
Yes.
Well, we talked about Johnny Dangerously and the gigantic testicles because we talked about the picture of me in South Dakota with my gigantic testicle showing through my pants.
These unfortunate souls are suffering from ESS, enlarged scrotum syndrome.
So I was right.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't figure out what ESS is.
Okay. I think that might be. Oh, I have one last thing. I had talked about Popeye and his giant biceps.
Mm-hmm. Forceps.
Sir, I think you should know these growths on your forearms. They're giant tumors.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't realized this is not how a human being is supposed to look. And the speech thing and what you're doing with your eye? You had a stroke about 7 years ago. That you've managed to be walking around all this time is nothing short of a miracle. I'd say about 2 months.
I'm all done. I don't think I've ever finished before you.
No, you haven't. You haven't. So we talked about the garden shed scene where the guys are unloading their machine guns and then one guy at the end shoots his pistol. So here's that.
Get button!
I was not wrong. He does do it.
Yeah. And you couldn't figure it out, but I figured it out that it's kind of similar in Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
Oh, really? I suggest you kiss my ass quick. Only way you're going home is shot, motherfucker. What the hell you think you're doing with that little shit? Stop it! Stop it! Don't shoot that little motherfucker no more!
Okay.
And then we also talked about Arnold's love of dark-skinned females and how he had several co-stars, female co-stars that had dark skin. And then he went and married like the whitest woman on the face of the planet, Maria Shriver, but ended up having sex with his Latina maid.
I've been sent here from the future. I have to have sex with your housekeeper to save humanity.
What?
Bring me your housekeeper. I have to have sex with her now. I'm the Terminator.
I don't have a housekeeper, and I think you're just present-day Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I am a machine. Every second I'm not having sex with a housekeeper. Robots are killing people in the future.
Okay, I finished for the day.
You lied to me. You do have a housekeeper. Let's go make a large-faced boy.
Cruel. It's just cruel.
Yes. That's all I have.
All right, moving on.
Hey, man, what's new now? What's fucking new now?
Do you do your home improvement stuff yourself, or do you pay for it, or is it dependent on what it is?
It depends on what it is. Yeah. I'm not that handy. I'm handy enough just to be dangerous, but I wouldn't trust myself putting in a sink or I've done tile. I've installed toilets. I've done laminate floor. I've done quite a bit. But now I'm kind of to the point where I don't want to do that stuff anymore. So I'll do little things.
I put in a new, not a sink, but the fixtures mm-hmm. for the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it before. It's actually fairly simple to do.
It depends. I mean, if you're a bath or a kitchen sink where you've got to get way the fuck up there
mm-hmm.
on the back end of it, that sucks.
But I got it all done. Turned on the water, it leaked, took it all apart, redid it, put it together, turned it on, it leaked. And it's like, fuck, okay. So then what do? You go to YouTube, seek links. So I went to the hardware store and I bought some putty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say make a little ring. And I just fucking wedged a ton of shit in there.
Okay.
And then when you tighten it all up, it all kind of squeezes out and it peels off anyway.
Yeah.
And that sealed one of the leaks. And then the other one is like, oh, God damn it. It's not exactly straight. So one of the gaskets wasn't, and it was just a back and forth. And I finally got it done. But as I'm doing this, I'm having to crawl under the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And to get the actual, like the screws or the bolts, whatever it is that are so tight, you're trying to use your body as leverage to create mm-hmm. torque.
Yeah.
And then the fucker gives and you just smash your hand into shit. And I cut like four of my fingers all at the same time.
Ooh, it's rough.
So that was fun. Same night in the playoffs for hockey. And normally I wouldn't talk about it, but Jen decided since it was a playoff, she was going to go to my game. And I appreciate the support, but it's always in my head that she's there. You know, I have to be in my best behavior. And then also I need to try to not get hurt because she doesn't need to see me get carried off the ice. Which is almost a weekly thing.
All right.
But what happens when you think about not getting hurt?
You get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a little dinged up, but nothing bad. So it wasn't a big deal. Probably the biggest deal in the last week was the eclipse.
Yeah. Did you have full totality?
Yes.
Okay.
That was cool.
We had 80%. And it was cool for 60 seconds. And then I just kind of went on with my day.
So you never got to the point where it was completely over the sun?
No. I mean, Brad and Lawn Chair drove to Southern Illinois to see it. And I would have to say that they probably drove 5 or 6 hours each way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was worth it. It was worth it to go out my front porch.
Because you were in the path of totality. The path of totality.
And it was neat. I tried to take some pictures with my phone, you know, using the glasses over the camera lens. Did not work so great.
No.
But, and I know you love it when I talk about my dreams.
Yes, that's the best. That's, honey, do you know what? Can I tell you about the dream I had last night? No, please don't. Please don't.
Have you ever had any college nightmares?
Oh, yeah. The reoccurring one, and I think this is high school also, is where you show up to the last day of the class to take your exam and you have not been there once.
Yeah, there's that one, or you end up short credits or.
No. That's no. Because by the time I graduated college, I had enough years of college to be a doctor.
Okay. you're just overflowing with credits. You just had to be in the right stuff.
Because I bounced around school so many times that back then some classes didn't carry over, which really fucking sucked. So, yeah.
You needed 120 credits to graduate at Madison when I was there. I don't know what it is now. And, you know, so many of them had to be in your major, but only so many of them could be in your major. You had to have so many credits that are outside of your major.
Okay.
I graduated with exactly 120 credits.
Uh-huh.
And I had the maximum amount I could have in my major. And I had the absolute minimum you could have for all of the other things. Like you had to have certain diversity credits and other things.
Sure.
But the college nightmare I always have is it's senior year. And for some reason, I'm living alone. And none of my friends ever come and visit me. So I'm just walking around my apartment all by myself.
So you're sad.
But two nights ago, I had a different one. I had to get back across campus and I was lost. And I went into this house and I met these three dirty hippies.
Okay.
But they would only give me directions if I smoked a joint with them. And then they gave me a couple bucks. And then this girl kissed me. And then after the kiss broke off, all of a sudden she became ugly.
Oh, okay.
And she had to go to work. And I figured, well, if she's going to work, she must have a car. I asked her how she got to work and she started to cry. And then I woke up and I'm like, fuck, I have to go back to sleep. I need to know why she's crying. So I don't know if she lost her car or I don't know what happened. It'll always be a mystery.
Sure.
But that's all I got.
Okay. All right. Well, I went on Monday. I went back to work, Boo. Not happy about that. I mean, things are going well. I'm tired. I just need to get back into the swing of things. And once I do this for a couple of weeks, my body will adjust. But still, it still kind of sucks having to go, you know, after having 6 months of not working to working full time.
Yeah, no, I would understand. I mean, it's weird because I don't have an office to go into right now.
Yeah.
So I'm doing like all self-directed learning stuff, which is very, very different.
You're not working on your music?
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. And then last night baseball started, had our first practice. I know all the boys except for one, and he's the whippersnapper that is going to be a fucking thorn in my side this entire season. He doesn't listen. He thinks he's awesome. He plays on another team, and he made it very clear that this team is not his priority, that the other team is his priority. And I'm standing there with Joey because I was having Joey coach third base. And I'm just kind of overseeing things, and he missed multiple balls in the outfield that were easy catches. And okay. Joey and I are just looking at each other like, yeah, you're awesome, dude. And then I have my end of practice circle where they make a circle and take a knee. And as we're walking back from the outfield, cause that's, we do it in the grass for the kids to go to their parents' car. I hear him say, man, that was really boring. I hope we don't do that all the time. And I was like, you little fucker.
Before you go on, I see you have a whistle around your neck, and the kid has a batting helmet on, and you're just smacking the top of the whistle on the top of his helmet, and you don't listen.
Yeah.
You're the smartest dumb kid I ever met. Doing a little John Voight on him. Varsity Blues.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, some turmoil with our canoe weekend, but I think we've got it figured out. So you're coming, right?
Supposedly.
Supposedly?
Yes. I've been saying that every week, and I've got no reaction out of you a single time.
Because I know you're doing it on purpose. It's like saying probably. I'm probably going. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a nice house that we got, man. I mean, I'm showing it to other people and they're like, fuck, can I come? And I'm like, room for eight anymore. And the owners of the Airbnb find out through their cameras, which I'm sure they've got. I can get banned from Airbnb. So I don't need that business.
I need to experience it to be able to make a judgment on it just because it's such a radical shift.
Yeah. We're basically going from a shack to a really, really nice house with a big kitchen and big poofy beds. By the way, I get a big bed.
My own room. Does it have a fire pit?
Yes, it does. And it has a pool table and a foosball table and a big area for playing bags. It has like a big deck with a covered area with like big couches and stuff.
Does it have a pool?
It does not have a pool. Trust me.
A pond?
I looked. It does not have a pond.
Pond would be good for you.
Why?
Pool, pond. Pond would be good for you. It's Caddyshack.
Okay. But there's things to do around there. So, it won't be the same, but it'll be new memories.
So are you sure that the other thing is done? Have you had that discussion yet?
No, I have not. And,
I don't know. Like I said, I'll just have to see how it is because it totally changes the dynamic because it was 3 days of kind of roughing it. And, you know, no electricity and no TV, I shouldn't say no internet because everybody has their phone, but now it's going to be, you know, whirlpools and, you know, it's going to be different. And it sounds more like a wine and cheese type thing.
I know, but I'm fine with that. I'll be honest with you. In my mind, the canoe weekend was kind of starting to run its course because we went up there and on Friday, we did nothing. We just sat around and talked, which is fine. But I feel like there's new memories to be made.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we were, for the most part, once we got up to the Shangri-La, we were kind of locked there. We didn't really go out much. Right. And so it removed some potential problems because, we're going to go into town. We're going to go to a bar. There's this other... Like I said, I'm going to have to see how it plays out.
I don't think there's much around there. I think we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. So anyway. And then, yeah, the eclipse, that's about it. Nothing really other than that.
Okay. Moving on.
Matt and Doug are at it again. Guess that sound and you are awesome. What movie will it be from? I really want to know.
Okay. I did this so long ago. I'm not exactly sure what movie it is.
Okay.
Well, I did all my sounds of the week. I did all my beds. I did all that stuff like weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this is the right one, and I'm hoping I can tell what it is. So here is the first one, and then I can give you a little bit more context.
You dare to challenge me? You're not warriors. You're pigs.
Okay, it's a movie we have not done. Mm. I'm sure it's been referenced. One of the people in this movie has been in at least five of the films we've done.
Wow. See, at first I was going to say Time Bandits, but only one guy gets turned into a pig in Time Bandits.
It's not Time Bandits.
Is it with a guy who played an Ewok at one point?
Supposedly.
So it's Willow?
Yeah, it's Willow.
Val Kilmer?
Yeah, Val Kilmer's in it as well.
Oh, well, who's the guy that was in like five movies? Oh,
yeah.
Who played the Ewok?
Yes, exactly.
Warwick Dunn?
Davis.
Warwick Dunn played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's Warren Sapp.
No, Warwick Dunn.
You're right.
Was the running back duo tandem of Warwick Dunn and Mike Allstott.
Oh, God, that goes way back.
Yeah.
So... Oh, it's short, so I'll play the mid one.
Avatu, Luatha, Ben Alpifu.
And you heard a little Warwick Davis spellcasting there. And then here is the reveal.
This is not an army.
No.
That's the goat.
Use the scepter, champ. Protect yourself.
Why? Just do it.
Yeah. So you got it, though. It's Willow.
I did get it.
Would you have gotten it if hadn't went down the Ewok path?
Oh, my next guess, after I figured it wasn't... Time Bandits. Willow was going to be my next guess.
Okay. So time for the movie itself.
Let's
see what I cooked up this week.
Let's see what you cooked up.
In a shuttle, NASA, they throw a fit. Launch a satellite and it was blown to shit. There is a guy that lost his head. They get blamed that he is dead. And the dad from Teen Wolf, he just shakes his head. They go out and try to find the truth. He's an astronaut and not a sleuth. The lies and crap that they put out, a cover up, there is no doubt. The truth we want to prove, we want to shout. Alien spacecraft at Hangar 8 White House cover up at Hangar 18 at Hangar 18.
Hangar 18 was released on an unknown date in July of 1980. It was written by Ken Pettis and directed by James L. Conway. Pettis is best known for TV shows including BJ and the Bear, Enos, and Matt Houston. Conway is best known for directing one of my favorite episodes of The Next Generation, which was The Neutral Zone, which was where it's a first season episode where the Enterprise finds a ship that has a bunch of people in cryogenic freeze. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like a millionaire and one of them is a woman that had like cancer. And then one of them's a farmer who is an alcoholic.
Oh, okay. That's one of your favorite Star Trek episodes. Is it on Plex?
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's called The Neutral Zone.
I forgot to mention with the, sorry, this goes back to what are you up to with the eclipse? I'd sent you guys a meme of it looked like a light and then a testicle sack that was all hairy come down in front of the light like it was the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that that was shown live on Mexican TV by accident?
Okay, I'm trying to think if this is a lie or not because
it's not. It's not. I just heard about it today that somehow they didn't vet it properly and it got shown live on Mexican news.
I thought my response to that was great, but.
Yes, it was.
But it stars Gary Collins, best known for hosting beauty pageants, James Hampton, best known for his rocking body and being a werewolf, Darren McGavin, best known for liking risque lamps, Robert Vaughn, best known for controlling the A-team in their last season. Would you just get the lamps thing?
No, the A-team thing, the final season of the A-team, I remember. Yeah, they jumped the shark that final season.
Tom Halleck, best known for being in one episode of just about every television show ever.
Who did he play in this movie?
Phil.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Joseph Campanella, best known for Mannix. And Pamela Bellwood, best known for Dynasty and doing a Playboy layout set in Africa with natives. Yeah,
I saw that. That was weird.
All of them except for Halleck and Bellwood are dead.
Okay.
It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 40 with critics and 29 with audiences. It made somewhere between $5.8 and $11 million on an unknown budget.
Okay.
Did you see this in the theater?
I don't know if I saw this or not. I don't know if, like, I wanted to see it because this was...
Space?
This was space, and my interest was piqued because I had just seen Empire Strikes Back. Although, what date did it come out?
Unknown. Unknown July. So it would have been after
a couple Empire. Of months after Empire. And maybe my parents knew somebody that went and saw it and they said, oh, it's stupid. Doug wouldn't like this movie.
This movie was a cable TV staple for a long time. I remember seeing this on cable a lot, not HBO cable, but not even cable, like Channel 24, Channel 18.
Okay.
Because the company that produced a lot of like Bible movies.
Oh, all right. Yeah. No, I don't think I saw this. I don't think I saw this movie.
I saw this in the theater, and I know for a fact I saw it at home multiple times. But
okay,
the movie starts, and as with many space movies, there's an opening title card.
In spite of official denials, rumors have continued to surface about what the government has been concealing from the American public at a secret Air Force hangar. But now, with the help of a few brave eyewitnesses who have stepped forward to share their knowledge of these events, the story can finally be told.
And of course, that is the theme to Galactica 1980.
No. It's the theme to Mannequin.
Okay, sorry. But space. It's yes. A big box.
Yes. You got the Star Trek stars going through there with some bad music and credits.
Yeah, I said Buck Rogers Star Trek credits. Uh-huh. But I thought the outer space effects were not too bad. The star field was not too bad. But then we pan down.
Uh-huh.
And we get a snap-tight model of the space shuttle flying by.
Right. Yeah.
Not a lot of confidence in this film from the first shot of the space shuttle. That did not look good. That looked so much like not even a model, but a model that probably was less than a foot long.
Yeah. Yeah. The cargo bay is open. We cut to Houston, and there's all kinds of things going on while the credit music is still blasting. And then it's announced that there's 10 minutes until they launch the satellite.
How much did you know about the space shuttle?
Quite a bit. In second grade, with the first launch, where there was only a pilot and a co-pilot, or yep. I should say a pilot and a commander, I stayed in with my second grade teacher, Mrs. Kranich, during recess while everybody else went out and played, and I watched the launch with her.
We were on vacation, and we took photographs of the television as it was launching. But
I could just hear your dad. This is really important. We've got to
document this
moment.
But the space shuttle was not the right orientation, because
would it be upside down?
It should have been upside down, because when they orbited the Earth, it was the cargo bay was open towards the Earth.
Okay.
But 10 minutes to launch, and then
the real space shuttle hadn't even launched yet.
Correct, because this was filmed in 1979. This came out in 80, and I think the first shuttle launched in 81.
Yeah, I believe so.
But President's on the phone. Well, so great to talk to you guys.
Hopefully we can get my Star Wars initiative off the ground after this success.
But he wants to wish them the best of luck for launching the first satellite from our space shuttle. And here I have some details about the shuttle program. You have any idea how long it lasted?
The shuttle program?
Yes. I mean, first launch to last launch.
First launch to last. Well, the first launch was 81. The last launch would have been 2007.
30 years. Retired in 2011 and depended on Russia to get to the ISS for the next decade.
Yeah.
135 missions.
How's that going?
It's great. 1,323 days in space. Okay, so the president continues to talk. It's a milestone for the American space program. Hi from his kid. And he says, it's long distance, so I better go. And Harry smiles. Harry is the guy at mission control. He's the guy that would be in the white vest.
Is he wearing a wig?
Darren McGavin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It sure looks like he's wearing a wig. But it almost looks like it's like a plastic shell. It looks so fake. But that could just be his real hair.
It could be, but well, we'll get into it when we get into it. There's a couple things in this film that make no fucking sense to me, but now it's 7 minutes to launch, and they get an alert, a red status on the satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say there are three people in the shuttle. There is Gary Collins' character. That's Steve. Yeah.
There's Teen Wolf's dad.
That's Lou.
Yeah. And then there's an Air Force colonel.
And he's just kind of sitting in the back.
Uh-huh. Yes. And this just like I explained in last week's podcast, when my friend Bill Yorth's parents got all new appliances and we had all the cardboard boxes all put together in his garage and we painted the inside white and had control panels and stuff like that. That was almost as good as this space shuttle mock-up.
It was not great. And mission control was not good either. Mission control looked very, very tiny.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah, they asked the Air Force colonel if they wanted to hold the launch. And he's like, no. It has to be launched.
That's at mission control. That's not the guy in the shuttle. That's at mission control.
Oh, okay. All
right. Because there's a guy, there's two colonels, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's at mission control. And then Harry asks him, do you want to hold the launch? No. It's got to go on schedule. So the other colonel is going to go check out the satellite.
Yeah.
There's 6 minutes to launch. They're not going to hold the launch. This guy is in he's not in an environmental suit. He's just wearing his jumper. Best case scenario, it's going to take at least 15 minutes just to get a spacesuit on.
Yeah, probably.
Plus, you have to do a day's worth of oxygen prep to do an EVA.
I did not know that.
I looked this stuff up. That's the only reason I know it. But asks him, want to hold the launch? No, it has to be launched on time. And Lou asks Steve what he thinks that the satellite they're launching is going to do. And what does Steve say?
I don't know.
Flush all the toilets in Russia.
Oh.
And he makes a bomb noise, and all the guys in mission control, what was that? But the third guy goes into the cargo bay. There are now 5 minutes to launch. So he got on a spacesuit and out into the cargo bay.
These are the worst looking spacesuits. It's basically a motorcycle helmet with the plastic shield and some hoses that come through it that connect to a big cardboard box on his back.
Well, do you know what the Borg was?
No.
It was.
Well, I know what the Borg are, but what?
It was hockey gear.
Okay.
And then just some corrugated PVC pipes.
All right. I mean, they looked all right.
But Steve is going to go man the Canada arm, which is the arm that they use to like pull stuff up and put stuff down.
Okay.
And
is that what it's called? It's called the Canada arm?
Yeah, because it was made in Canada.
Oh, all right.
But third guy's checking out the satellite, and Steve is watching him on closed circuit TV, and they're down to 4 minutes, and the colonel has gotten, and he's opened up the back of the satellite, and there's a module that's loose.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to stay in the bay and help it launch.
And then Lou sees something on the computer screen from a TRS-80 Model 1.
He sees Pong on the screen?
Was that a meteor?
It's just a dot that has a little trail that's following it that's going beep, 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 and it's hitting the sides of the screen. It's not like it's going in a straight trajectory. It's actually changing direction when it hits the top of the screen.
Well, that's why he says it can't be a meteor, because it does a U-turn. And they're down to 3 minutes, and Steve moves the arm, grabs the satellite, and Houston sees the aberration on the telemetry as well, the thing, whatever it happens to be. And the general down at Mission Control calls a flunky over and says, "Hey man, you want to contact NORAD for me real quick?" But it's now 2 minutes to launch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pause the film, when they say it's 2 minutes to launch, you can actually see the timer, and it's at 14 minutes and 47 seconds.
Oh, all right. Well, okay.
But Harry sees the abnormality as well. And then Steve is lifting the satellite out. Now it's 1 minute to launch. So they are getting this thing into place with 60 seconds before it's supposed to launch.
Yeah.
It's really, really not how this stuff works.
No, it's not. No, this is like a whole day's operation.
But satellite's free, and Steve goes back to his seat, and now there's 30 seconds. And Lou says, "Hey, it stopped. It's right over us, according to the radar." And they're looking out the window for a long time.
Yeah. And then they see it, and it's a Klingon bird of prey.
It's fucking huge.
It is.
There's no way they couldn't see it. It's right there.
Yeah. Right.
But the colonel sees it from the cargo bay. NORAD sees it as well. And now we get down to the last 10 seconds, and the satellite launches, and what happens?
It flies into the UFO and explodes.
And Mission Control gets lost a signal, and Harry's concerned. They have no idea what happened. Try to get back, and after about 10 seconds, it comes back. What happened? Satellite hit the thing and exploded. And then Lou gets Steve's attention to point something out to him. What do they see through the window?
They see an astronaut missing his head and the floating head in the helmet floating right next to it.
That cracked me up a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
It was a clean beheading.
Yeah. Yeah. Jango Fett is out there.
He's dead. You think?
No shit.
How some debris in his helmet was turned off, and they have a moment of silence for the departed, which is actually literally a moment of silence. Oh, okay, yeah. Back to work.
Yeah, get your shit together. Copy? Yeah, we copy. And then we're at NORAD, and they see an object coming down in U.S. airspace.
So they start scrambling helicopters.
Well, they make it look like they're scrambling two separate helicopters, but it's only one helicopter that they're using.
Okay. And one of the things that's interesting about this film is they give us time and location stamps a lot of times when they change location to location.
That is true. They sure do.
And I understand the location thing. I get that. The time doesn't make a difference because it doesn't tell us what day it is.
No.
And they don't account for time zones.
No. I think they just do that kind of to make it seem more official.
It could be, but
yeah, we're in Arizona now, and we have a poor man's John Belushi driving a car. This guy has been in everything, every TV show, every commercial.
And he's driving by Devil's Tower. And a stream.
He's not, because he's in Arizona.
Oh, you know, close encounters, third time.
I know.
A stream of light is racing across the sky, and it just stops, and then it goes straight down. If I didn't know better, I would have thought this was actual UFO footage, because this looks so real.
Seriously?
It was terrible.
I know it was. It was really bad.
But he goes off-roading in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And his car is not made for off-roading. It's a classic car. I have no idea what kind it is.
Right.
But it's an older car. And he sees something. We don't see what it is, but
yeah.
Then he drives off.
Yeah, he gets the heck out of there. The chopper spots it, calls it in, and lights it. The lights are in like a circular pattern. Is that what, it's been such a long time since I've seen this movie. The lights on the UFO are in a circular pattern?
Yeah, he says there's just some flashing lights on the ground, and it's the weirdest damn thing. They're lights in a circular pattern, and he says to the pilot, take us lower. We really still don't see anything. What should we do? And he said, General? General?
Yeah, there's no answer from the general.
And we go back to space. Steve and Lou are buckling in for reentry, and the general wants to talk to Harry. And I get that everything that's going on in Arizona right now is important, but they're about to try reentry of a shuttle in the very beginning of the shuttle program. Kind of a critical point to have the head of mission control there.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
But they go into another room and the shuttle is pivoting so that it is in position for reentry. Bunch of switches are hit and then the main shuttle engines fire. And then, the general gives Harry some orders.
Mm-hmm.
Have you called Washington?
Got a call into the White House. Gordon Gain, the president's chief of staff. This information should go directly to the president.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you want with me?
I want you to go there, Harry. Set up a team. Check it out, top to bottom, inside and out.
Then we go back to the shuttle. And then we go back to Harry in the control room, and he doesn't put his earpiece back in when he walks back into mission control, which he should do. Shuttle gets into position, and then we get Washington, D.C., 6:33 a.m., and who gets a phone call from the general?
Robert Vaughn.
And what is he, chief of staff?
I think he is, yeah. And then there's another guy.
That's his fixer. That's what I call him.
Yeah, he's kind of a fixer, yeah. You're right.
But the general says, hey, I have some info you might want to give to the president. We might have an alien spacecraft. What?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about it over the phone, though.
Yeah, meet me at the White House. And then we're back to mission control. We see some stock footage of the Enterprise flying through the air. It was a shuttle Enterprise. It was the one that they used for glider tests.
Ah, all right.
And it had to be Enterprise because this was before the first shuttle launched. It was the only orbiter that had ever landed.
Okay.
And the gear down displays barber pole. And at mission control, there are two shots of the shuttle. On the left, the landing gear is up and it's way up in the air. And on the right, the gear is down and they're about 30 feet above the ground. This is just extremely lazy filmmaking.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then a milk delivery truck drops off our two astronauts.
So I said it was an Amazon delivery truck.
It looked like a milk delivery truck. They want to talk to the dead guy's family. Oh, no. You don't have time. You have a plane to catch.
Yeah. Yeah, take it up with Harry. You got a plane to catch. And then it is now 8:52 Arizona time. The guy from the night before that saw the UFO land is talking with the sheriff. And he's taking him to where he saw the UFO. And it's over a ridge. It was right there. It's not there.
It was right here. It was right here. Sure it was. But yes.
Then we go back to mission control, and Steve and Lou have gotten to mission control, and they are talking to Harry about what they saw.
I saw it. Steve saw it. Gates saw it.
I know, Lou. I know, and I saw it.
Then why don't we look at the telemetry tapes?
Because we already know what's on it. It's not necessary. It's all going to come out in the report. Now, that's all you have to know for now. Everything is going to be all right.
Harry, just trust me, okay?
Okay.
That's better.
Oh, you cut it off before, because that was your clip. You cut it off before Harry says, yeah, I got a bolt. And Lou has this weird thing where he either just nods his head or kind of mugs to the camera
okay.
a lot in this film.
But with his bowl haircut and his paunch.
You go back to Washington and it's Vaughn talking to Harry, I believe. Yes.
No, the general is.
Oh, the general. Oh, yeah, you're right. Vaughn. The general.
Yes. The astronauts saw it, whatever it is. We have to get inside of it. It's been moved to Hangar 18 in Texas, which has everything that we need.
Yeah, it's a lunar receiving station, computers, biolabs, titty bars, everything.
And yeah.
Security would normally be NASA, but they switched it over to Air Force.
Right. We need to brief the Defense Department and the CIA. Why do they need to brief the CIA? I don't understand that.
Well, the fixer is going to put in this context because CIA is international.
Yeah. It should have nothing to do domestically.
Well,
if anything, it should be the FBI.
Yeah, but the CIA dabbles internally, and you know that as well as I do.
Of course I do.
But yes. Someone will have to talk to the press. Guy just died.
Yeah, this is the first time an astronaut died in space.
How many astronauts has NASA lost in space?
In space?
Mm-hmm.
None in space. You lost the one, the Columbia on reentry.
Yeah, that was 7.
Yeah, and then the 7 in the Challenger. Mm-hmm. And then you had your 3 in the Apollo 1 disaster.
Yep.
And
I think that's really it. That's it for people actually in spacecraft.
Yeah.
But Vaughn says we're getting into a problem area. The election is 2 weeks away and the president is trailing in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need speculation and rumors circulating in Washington. But the general counters with, this might be important for the space program and defense. Should we back off? It's like, no. Investigate it. Find out everything you can, but proceed carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vaughn kind of gets on a little bit of a soapbox about the president is the best one we've had in a long time. Don't want to blow it because of a rumor or panic.
Well, this also affects his job as well.
Right. And this was filmed when Carter was in office.
Yeah.
One of the things that led to a rate. Okay. Do you know, and it's not even a conspiracy theory because it actually happened. One of the things that kind of hung over the head of Carter leading into that presidential election was he could not resolve one particular situation.
The Iranian hostage situation. Bonus points. How many days were they hostages for?
181.
No, 444.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But they actually negotiated to wait to release the hostages until after Carter was out of office,
mm-hmm.
which is fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But got to keep this quiet until the election is over. This is the right thing to do. And apparently some senator that ran against the president last time said something about UFOs and the current president buried him with it. It was a joke.
Yes. The opponent would increase the defense budget. And that's one of the reasons why they have to keep it quiet.
And if the other guys win, the other guy wins, the country will be destroyed. Got to keep a lid on Hangar 18 and they can live there. All communications will go through the general's office. And the fixer says, what about the astronauts? They saw it. They'll want to talk about it.
Deny what they say. Bring them in. Nope. We got to keep an eye on them.
It's only for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Big mistake. Yeah. Big mistake. They should have brought them in and read them in and then said, we need to keep this under wraps, but this is what happened.
Now we're in Houston, and this not confused me, but I couldn't tell. Steve gets a phone call. It's 7:17 a.m. Is he in bed alone or not?
I think he is.
But he's getting a call. Who's he getting a call from?
Is this Flo?
Yeah, it's from Flo.
Hi, Flo. What's the soup du jour?
Have you seen the papers? No. Well, take a look at it and then come in here. And at NASA, a paper says shuttle death blamed on NASA crew.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve and Lou talk to Harry about what's in the news. Talk to Flo about what's in the newspaper.
What the hell is this? How can they blame us?
I tried to find out where the story came from, but there's no byline. The newspaper wouldn't tell me a thing. I just don't get it. Who'd float a story like that?
The Air Force, honey.
Why?
To cover themselves. But this is stupid. I'll never get away with it.
But they're saying that you guys are responsible for wrecking a satellite and killing a man.
Flo, we didn't do anything. The satellite hit something.
And we can prove it.
Or can they?
Mm-hmm.
So they do what they should do. They go to look at the telemetry tapes and...
Yes. There's nothing there.
Just the explosion. There's no UFO there.
No blip. No Pong blip.
Either we imagine the whole thing or the blip has been erased. And they said, let's go talk to Harry. And they go into Harry's office. And who is there?
Burt Reynolds.
But
that was not planned. It's definitely a guy that looked like Burt Reynolds, though, wasn't it?
Yes. They ask where Harry is, and he's been reassigned. Where? It's classified top secret. When will he be back? Don't know that either. And they're just about to leave, and they say, can we ask you just one more question?
Jack, come on. Tell me that you're my friend. Just tell me, am I your friend?
Yeah, he doesn't say anything. But they leave. Steve and Lou walk out, and they're kind of in outside of the office by themselves. And I think it's Lou says, Harry said he's got a bolt. There's all this shit with the telemetry tapes.
Bolt? Something stinks in suburbia.
2 weeks left.
Okay.
But now we go to Hangar 18, and car goes to security, then up to the hangar. The trunk is opened, and Indiana Jones is thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Harry is there, and he greets the guy that gets out of the car. The other guy isn't very impressed by the building. I don't know what he'd expect.
It's a hangar.
That's just the outside for security. Come on inside. And there's some futuristic tech in several rooms. They go into an observation area, and Harry says, let's have a look. And the lights are turned on, and the UFO is shown for the first time, and it's kind of underwhelming.
Not very special. I don't even know how to explain it. I was trying to figure out, what does this look like?
Trash can lid?
It does not look like a UFO.
It's circular, and it's got lights.
Is it circular, though? It looks more box-like, though.
It's cylindrical, I think.
Okay.
And it vents gas and has lights, and it has lasers, apparently.
Lasers.
But the guy says he heard stories about UFOs, but he didn't believe them, and not something most people want to believe. Any damage? None. They think it was brought in a controlled landing. You mean somebody brought it in? And yep, and they're inside. And
they're still in there. Ooh.
And they talk about what else is going to go on.
Well, we'll know more when the others arrive.
Who?
Well, aside from the NASA technicians and engineers, there's Neil Kelso, linguist.
Burn!
The translations. The very best.
Really spectacular. Spared no expense.
And Sarah Michaels and Paul Bannister, two doctors, just in case.
But Steve and Lou are back in NASA, at NASA, and they're sitting in mission control, and they're just kind of pondering what their next move is.
Yeah.
You know, buddy, if they hang this thing on us, we're through. And I don't just mean with NASA. We'll be able to get a part-time job flying a kite.
Throws a paper airplane at him.
I mean, Harry said we were in the clear.
Yeah, Harry. I wonder if Harry knew about those doctored telemetry tapes.
Man, I don't know. All I know is that we're being made the fall guys in this thing, and I don't like it. It's scary.
Maybe it's time to go to the newspapers with a story.
What story? Lou, we don't have a story. We claim the satellite hit a UFO. You know what the Air Force is going to do? Drag out that fake telemetry, and we're going to look like idiots. Case closed.
You're real encouraging.
What do you want? Wasn't Crown Mountain one of the stations that monitored us?
Should have been. They always do.
Well, they're pretty remote. I wonder if they still have the telemetry and it hasn't been fooled around with yet.
Hey, it's worth a shot. Yeah, I got a friend at Crown Mountain, too. George Turner.
Well, why don't you introduce me?
Okay. I don't know if he's your type, though. He's a lot shorter and a lousy dancer.
Then we go back to Hangar 18, and Harry is explaining that you're going to live and work here until we're ready to finish our report. And there's a guy apparently is pissed that he can't call his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, it's restrictive. Got to keep it under wraps.
And they all get badges, and the guy talks about procedures, and three guys are suiting up to go to the UFO. It is Harry and not Chip. Something in non. But they're all dressed like Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
With their rubber suits.
And they go through a decontamination thing with lights red and it's green. They come in, they approach the ship, and lights are blinking and flashing and blinking and flashing.
Yes.
They circle around it and Harry shakes his head. How do we open it? And then the other guy says, do we want to? Harry's like, yeah, we do. And he goes up to it. And the third guy is taking readings with a little portable magnetometer.
Here's the thing. They just have like regular respirators that I would wear for doing pest control.
Okay.
They would need to be in environmental suits with self-contained breathing apparatuses.
Yeah, they'd have like the little suitcase air thingy.
Yes.
That goes with them. But some lights start to change and then smoke comes out and a ramp opens. And a guy dressed all in black comes down the ramp. And he says he's there to put them back on schedule. And he does not share their optimistic appraisal of the situation.
What's that from?
Return of the Jedi.
Well, I get minus points for this week.
Yeah, apparently. And this is actually where Lucas got the idea for Vader's arrival in Return of the Jedi.
No, he did not. That's a Matt lie.
But the third guy, it's Phil, Harry, and the third guy. I just call him Non because he looks like Non.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I went to go look him up on IMDb because I'm like, is that Non?
It's not.
It's not. No, it's not. Now I get it. Yes. It's all pink on the inside.
From the outside, as the doors open, they can kind of see inside. It looks like a strip club.
Yeah, it does. And yeah.
Harry says, well,
there goes nothing.
Yeah, and we're all going in, and the three of them go in.
And they have to duck to get in,
mm-hmm.
which, given what we find out about the aliens, that makes no sense.
Right.
But the inside does actually look like a strip club. And Eric Estrada is in the observation lounge, apparently. I don't know why I have that in my notes, but Non looks evil. And the three of them are just kind of looking around. And Phil is just touching stuff.
Yeah.
Don't touch stuff.
Pushing buttons. And yeah, that comes up a little bit later on, which really cracked me up. When the guy opens up the garbage can in the ship.
But I don't know who. Somebody asks a question here.
What do you think? Engine room. Right.
But as expected, Non doesn't say anything. And there's a lot of control panels that are very, very similar. And then there's symbols everywhere. And we get a jump scare here.
Yes.
A door opens and what jumps out at Harry?
A pressure suit.
And Harry looks at it quizzically and then touches it. Stop touching things.
Right. And my first thought was, is this like Sphere where this ship is actually from the future?
Spoiler alert.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. But it's not.
I've never seen Sphere.
Oh, but you're familiar with Michael Crichton stuff. You know the premise of that movie.
I do now. But they continue through the craft and they find a turbo lift.
Yes.
And how is it operated?
With like one little cable or something like that.
They stand on a silver bar and it causes it to go up and they get off the silver bar and it goes back down.
Okay.
And Harry gets on and starts going up by himself. And Phil says, what about the inspection? And he says that he'll finish it later.
Yeah. But all three of them go up and there's two guys in chairs and they're bald and they have blue eyes. And the chairs turn.
And we go to commercial. There's so many places in this film where it looks like they have built-in commercial breaks.
That's why I asked you. I said, are you sure this isn't a made-for-TV movie?
I had to check. It is not.
Yeah.
But now we're at Crown Mountain Tracking Station.
Uh-huh.
And Steve and Lou are talking to George.
That's your orbiter.
Yeah.
Time?
12 seconds to launch.
11, 10, 9.
There it is.
And there it goes. George, can we have this tape or a copy?
This is a Department of Defense operation. You guys couldn't get out of here with a coffee cup. But George, now look, guys, I just did this as a favor. If the brass knew I even let you in here, I could lose my job.
All right. Could you at least project where that thing came down?
Sure.
This will pinpoint the location based on trajectory readings.
It'll compute the area of impact and then focus on it. Right there. Bannon County, Arizona.
Thanks, George.
A couple of things here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we are doing a documentary in a couple of weeks that shows that you can pretty much do anything you want at a Department of Defense installation.
Right.
And get away with it quite easily.
Yes.
And then I would think that the information, not just the telemetry, but the information about where the craft came down, that would be just as classified as the telemetry itself.
Sure.
But we go to Arizona and a government car pulls up. And when did it become a trope that everybody that works for the government has to wear a suit?
I mean, that was always the case with like the A-Team. But all the FBI agents always wore suits.
X-Files, always in a suit. But it's an easy way. If you're ever being followed, they're in a suit. They work for the government.
Yeah. But yeah, the guy from before, the poor man is John Belushi, who saw the craft come down. He's in a bar and nobody believes him and he leaves. And then the men in black are watching him.
They're going to flash him.
That's what I refer to him, that these guys, the rest of the movie.
And a picture of him is given to Robert Vaughn by the fixer. Will he be a problem? No, nobody believes him. That's not the issue. Sam and Lou are on their way to Bannon County.
Steve and Lou.
Steve and Lou. Well,
not great, yeah. Bob.
But the crash site has been cleaned up. We wouldn't want them to run into Sam. It would confirm what they saw.
Yeah. Well, he's unemployed. Well, get him a job.
Yeah. And keep me briefed on Steve and Lou, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back to the UFO. Nan is waving a wand around like some... What do you think? You're some sort of Jedi? So he went from being mute to being a Toydarian? Is that right?
I don't know what he's called. I don't know what Watto's species is. Well, he's Jewish. He's Star Wars equivalent to Jewish.
Hey, what do you know? Phil says it looks okay. Everything's green. And Harry says everybody can come in and they can lose the suits. And people come running down with stretchers and they're taking one of the alien bodies out.
Not a great idea. There's two dead aliens in there. Something killed them. I would not be getting out of my suit.
And the aliens have Doug's hairline.
I said that before. They're bald.
They're taking the bodies to the lab. And on the ship, Harry's touching stuff, just constantly touching stuff. And this is just making my skin crawl because don't stop touching things. And what does he see on the floor?
A broken vial.
He sees a vial of crack cocaine.
Yes.
And,
and then
an armadillo.
And
then they
an armadillo.
Yeah, there's an armadillo in Michael Jackson's hyperbolic chamber.
Oh.
And then there's another hyperbolic chamber. And what's in that
one? Oh, that's right. Yes. Sees creature in stasis. And then a woman with blonde hair.
On Earth, she was a princess.
Yes.
But cut to commercial.
Yes.
Doctors.
They're telling the general that she's barely alive and she needs a hospital.
General says he'll take care of it. And the general is getting Vaughn on the horn. And go back to Hangar 18. And Harry tells Phil to search the outside for any damage. He needs to know if the aliens were dead or alive when they landed. Oh, and there was something on the floor. Can you have that sent to... There's some crack on the floor. Can you have that sent to my room for analysis? Can you get that analyzed? And there was a library. Have Kelso check it out. And some woman gives Harry a stack that's probably about 4 inches tall, a preliminary report.
Mm-hmm.
That would take 3 days to print out something that long on green sheets.
Sure. Sure it would.
But inside the craft, there's like all these symbols. And Kelso is checking it out. He's just touching stuff. And there's octagonal. There's a screen with 8 sides, and Kelso sits in front of it. And what does somebody open up?
What does somebody open up?
It's your clip.
Oh, the garbage can.
Well, what do you think?
Well, they sure didn't get this equipment at Radio Shack. Close it up. Let's try the other one.
Thank you.
I don't know. I just pulled the panel over there and everything went haywire.
Well, watch what you're doing!
Harry, if we're going to find out anything here, we can't keep our hands in our pockets. We've got to do something.
Yeah, well, be careful.
I'm not a scientist. They would take months and months and months to go over everything with a fine-tooth comb, and each individual button they pressed, they would have 800 different scenarios before they did that. No, they're just in there randomly touching shit, opening drawers.
Yeah. Well, be careful.
But the woman that was in suspended animation is taken out of Hangar 18 and put in an ambulance.
Yeah.
She'd just get killed, right?
She just get killed?
She would. If this was real, they would just kill her.
No, I don't think so.
But the ambulance is driving with the lights on. I fully expect it to just stop.
It's a Suburban made it turned into an ambulance. Yes. But she wakes up and screams.
God, is she still alive?
Just barely.
Where is she now?
In a hospital, a private clinic. They're keeping her under close observation. We've got a group of computer staff people running a trace, trying to get some kind of ID on her.
I don't like it. There are too many outside people involved. We've got too many loose ends.
Don't worry. We're keeping very tight security.
The campaign is going well. Things are running smoothly. We've got to keep this thing bottled up. You understand?
Look, Gordon. I'll take care of it.
All right.
And he sits down and we cut to commercial once again.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Hangar 18 and Harry's inside the ship. His tie is loosened. And what does he start doing?
Have to find out what makes this tick. He starts pushing buttons. Yeah, he's pushing some buttons and some laser beams come out and he's like, sorry, guys.
Yeah, he almost killed a couple scientists, and Phil and Harry inspect the damage and it went through it like a teenage girl's neck. It's a call back to Commando last week.
Oh, all right. Yes.
It shoots through schools.
Slitting a young girl's throat is like cutting through soft butter.
Right. It went through it the same way.
Okay. All right.
But now we're at Bannon County Airport.
Yes. And not much of an airport.
A small plane comes in for landing on one of my favorite types of road.
What's that?
A dirt road? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ha, 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 ha.
You usually enjoy those jokes. Just not in the mood for frivolity tonight, Doug.
I don't like anal sex jokes. They offend me.
But the engines stop and Harry and Lou get out and they need a place to tie down. It's not a horse. But how much is it to store their plane?
I don't have. I don't have that number.
It's $10 a day. But they go over to the guy, and they need something else.
Well, they need a vehicle.
Say, you wouldn't happen to have a car we could rent?
Nope.
We need some way to get around. You know where we could rent something?
Yep.
Where's that?
From me.
I thought you said you didn't have a car we could rent.
Don't. Got a truck. You didn't ask me about no truck. You asked me about a car. Truck? Ain't got no car.
A truck will be fine.
That's the kind of thing I would do.
It's around the side of the hangar. Keys are in it. It's 20 a day. Of course, you buy your own gas. I ain't no millionaire, you know?
By any chance, have you heard anything about a crash that happened in this area a couple of days ago?
Crash? Oh, you must be talking about that crazy story Sam Tate's been telling. Dragged the sheriff out there and everything. Said he saw a flying saucer come down. You know, like on the TV.
Where was this?
Shoot, I don't know. You better ask the sheriff. You know, it's the desert air that does it.
Does what?
Dries out your brain juice so you can't think straight no more. Happens to everybody out here.
Now, I think we better talk to the sheriff. Thanks.
And Lou just shakes his head once again. They go and they get in the truck and they're peeling out of the airport, if you can call it that.
It's Uncle Jesse's pickup truck.
And who is sitting right outside the exit to the airport?
The men in black.
Yeah, the fixer's flunkies. They're not even hidden. They are right across from the exit.
The plates on their vehicle probably say government.
But back in the spaceship,
Harry's playing with some more buttons.
And there's stirrups on the flight deck for some reason. And there's video clips that start playing. And
yes.
K- Kelso and Phil come in and they're all watching. They've been recording our broadcasts. They must have been monitoring them. So, yeah, no shit. But mm-hmm. Kelso recognizes something. Something he's seen before.
A symbol?
And he hits a button. Stop touching stuff.
Yeah.
Kelso says it's the symbol for Earth. But right. It reminds him of something else. And Harry and Phil just kind of exchange glances. And we go back to Arizona. And who are Steve and Lou talking to?
They're talking to the sheriff.
And sheriff went out there, found nothing. Not that Sam was lying. It's just the way he is. And sheriff laughs. He said he called Washington. And I swear he said he called Herb Cole. Which would be weird that he'd call Herb Cole because...
Well, Herb Cole was not in office yet.
Well, he's also from Wisconsin.
Yes.
But Lou asks where they can find him. I don't know. He's a drifter. He drifts. Might have left town. But before Lou and Steve leave, what does the sheriff want from them?
He wants their autographs.
For his wife. Who should I make it out to? Dwayne. Once again, Lou just shakes his head.
Yeah. Yes.
Steve and Lou head out to where the crash was supposed to be, and they're right there. I mean, they are right in the exact location. For not knowing the area, that is amazing. They got to exactly where they needed to be.
It sure is. Lou sees some charring covered by branches.
Well, they search for a solid minute before they find anything.
Okay.
Yeah, the government didn't really do much to cover up. They just threw some branches over it.
Some branches over it. Right. Somebody is trying to hide something. No shit. The men in black are watching and they find some fused rocks.
Yeah. Steve picks up a rock, calls Lou over, and heat of a blast furnace would be needed to fuse these rocks together. And
yeah, the men in black, one of them goes to the other guy and he goes, they found something.
Why wouldn't they each have their own binoculars? Why are they sharing a pair? Is this like a government restriction as far as like funding? They need the flunkies from the CIA need more money.
Yeah. Yes. But now the men in black show up and they confront Steve and Lou.
Morning.
Oh, hi. How you doing? What's up?
This is private property, Flat Butte Mining. So?
You're trespassing.
We're sorry. Thanks.
What have you got there?
It's a rock. Found it over there. It's for my kid. He's got a little collection.
But we're making an exploratory operation here. You're going to have to leave that.
We're not going to jump your claim, if that's what you're worried about.
Then there's no reason not to give it to me, is there?
No, I guess not.
Let's get out of here.
I don't see Gary Collins as much of a fighter.
He's not.
But I see Lou as even less of a fighter than Gary Collins.
Yes. Yeah. But the men in black go, come on, we've got to get that rock back. And they're being followed. Steve says, boy, I haven't punched anybody out since high school.
When was the last time you punched somebody?
Last time I punched somebody was high school. No. I think I was up in lacrosse and I was dancing on a chair up on a stage at this bar, and there was a ton of Kettle Moraine people.
Well, lacrosse, and sure.
And then all of a sudden, I see like a kerfuffle. I'm pretty sure started by the pilot.
That would have been shocker. My first guess. Yeah,
shocker, right? Uh-huh. MT was there. You know who MT is, right?
Yeah, it's ear penises' friend's husband. Yes,
right. And I can't remember what happened, but some guy came at me and I punched him and then he started coming at me again and Mark Tommy grabbed that guy and I was reaching around punching him in the face as Mark Tommy was, I'm still on this chair dancing and I'm punching this guy in the face as Mark Tommy's grappling with him. So it was kind of weird, man.
Last time I punched somebody intentionally would have been middle school.
Okay.
After college, I accidentally decked a girl.
Okay.
I'm friends with her, but I mean, it was a thing where she just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was playing darts. And I had a bad dart throw and I like air punched to the side.
Oh, and you punched her.
And she just happened to be there.
Ooh. Eesh.
But
yeah,
Lou is driving. The flunkies are coming up. And how's your other hand? They still want to talk to us. And the government car comes up and they're kind of playing bumper cars.
Yeah, I think they're slamming into the truck. There's definitely a dramatic music change during the chase.
Wouldn't a truck, that was an older truck. I mean, those older trucks were built to handle shit.
Mm-hmm.
But they go over a hill and the car is now in front of the truck and Lou spins the car out and they take off. He spins the car out by kind of pushing on the back of it so that the back end comes around.
It's the pit maneuver.
And then
I can't see it, Elaine. But that's what it's called. The cops use it all the time. The pit maneuver.
But Lou is doing some fancy driving and the flunkies not so much. And they drive off an overpass.
Yeah. And what happens to the car when it lands?
It explodes.
It explodes like any typical 70s or 80s vehicle after a car chase.
And I think it's Lou says that could have been us. Don't want to explain this. Let's get out of here. And
yeah,
we go back to Washington and Vaughn is pissed.
Two men have been killed and all you can tell me is it was an accident. We can't afford accidents like that. We're trying to reelect a president. Do you realize this could put all of us in jail?
There's no way any of us can be connected with what happened.
Two men are dead. We don't handle things that way. This is the White House, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm. Bancroft and Price aren't exactly cooperating with us. They're the ones who were responsible for what happened out there.
Fine. Well, Frank, I'll just have you explain that to the grand jury.
And to the Senate Investigating Committee. And to the newspapers. I'm sure they'll all be very understanding.
What Superman was Vaughn in? Was that 3 or 4? It's 3, right?
Yeah, it was not. It was the
Richard Pryor one.
Richard Pryor, where he used nicotine for an ingredient for kryptonite,
which made Superman into an asshole.
He straightened out the Leaning Tower of Pisa,
and then he put it back, and the guy had to keep on breaking his little statues.
Yes,
you broke your little model.
Mamma mia! You're making me break my statue.
But it's complicated. But we have to stay on top of this, and we go back to Hangar 18 and Kelso has something to show Harry.
Nobody.
The Xochitl Plateau in Mexico.
Mm.
Now, this portion of the markings are identical to the symbols we saw on the ship. No one's ever been able to figure out what these Xochitl markings mean, or who made them, or why. But they were made hundreds, maybe thousands of years ago. And they can only be seen from the air.
Wait a minute. If this isn't the wildest coincidence, then what you're saying is that beings from another world have been here on Earth before.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, go on.
The Great Pyramid of Tetanapa.
Yeah.
Now, this is bigger than any pyramid in Egypt.
Yeah, right.
No one knows who built it or why. Here's the best part. This pyramid is honeycombed with passageways. And there are inscriptions on the walls. Right? Now, here's some drawings of them. Compare these with these. You see what I mean? They're similar to the spaceship. Too similar, Harry, for it to have been any coincidence.
Yeah.
Look, I think they have the same route. Developed differently, but from the same source.
Yeah, so there's the connection.
If the alien symbol is part of the Xochitl markings, then the Tetanapa inscription could be the key to the whole translation.
It's worth a shot.
Diagonal stresses on the ideograms, definitely Kioma.
You speak it?
Nobody speaks it. Hasn't been heard aloud in 3,000 years. Might be able to read a bit, though, if I walk it through Mayan first.
Makes about as much sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the page in the book that had the inscriptions or the symbols, it looked like they just stuck a piece of paper in the book.
Yeah.
But Harry's excited, and the lady from Dynasty is about to do an autopsy on the alien. But she's waxing poetic about,
well, what does the alien have?
Blue eyes
and nipples.
Oh, does he have nipples?
He's got nipples. Yep.
Can you milk me, Greg? She's waxing poetic about where he was, who he was, where he's from.
Uh-huh.
Nan actually talks here for a second. But we go back to the airfield and Steve and Lou are talking and they're going to see a rock professor.
Right. They're going to give him a rock. Yes. And then the guy who rented the truck, he's upset that his beater truck even looks more beat.
Yeah. Hope they fly better than they drive. The plane takes off and back to Hangar 18 and Kelso is working with the computer and Harry asks if he had any luck and only one word in 10 makes sense. And this is all, things take time.
Yeah.
This would be a month or year long process, not an hour long process. Check back in a couple hours. We'll see how you're doing. And the next day, Harry goes to see how the autopsy turned out.
Yeah, their organs are nearly identical. There's a gland behind the eye that is used. Looks like it was a parallel evolutionary process between us and them.
And Harry asks where Nan is as she's explaining this. And, well, he's in the lab, and then he says,
yeah, is there someone from the military we can talk to? A man, perhaps?
She says that she doesn't know how they died. There's no obvious external injuries. And then she shakes out her hair for no reason.
Okay.
Any idea when they died? No. Is that important? Yes. If they were dead, how was it a controlled landing? What else? They were 6'1" tall, weighed 200 pounds. So they would have had to duck to get out of the spaceship as well.
Mm-hmm.
Biped, five fingers on each hand. Same with toes, blue eyes, internal organs, almost identical, blah, 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 blah. No idea but what brought the saucer down. Nothing. And Harry then goes out to the saucer and Phil wants to talk to him. Hey, I'm right here. But Phil has made some kind of, what would you call it, a discovery, or he's got a hypothesis?
Yeah, he does.
Look, I'm not a nuclear engineer, but my opinion for what it's worth is that this is an end fusion drive.
What kind of fuel?
Probably hydrogen. Scooped it up as it went along.
How could it create temperatures high enough to make a fusion reaction? It takes 1 million degrees, as far as we know.
As far as we know. And there's another thing. Again, I'm just guessing. But I don't think this thing was capable of interstellar travel.
This couldn't have generated enough speed.
Where do you think it came from?
A mothership. Something bigger and faster than we can imagine.
You should have dropped a mothership clip in there.
From V?
No, from the band.
Mother what?
There's a band, the mothership.
That's news to me.
All right, but we go back to Kelso, and he tries something, and his eyes go wide. My God, that's it. That was really quick. But then we are at a college, and what college are we at?
Oh, hold on. That I don't know.
The Western Institute of Technology.
Oh.
So is that like a knockoff MIT?
It's the WIT.
But the doctor, or the professor they're talking to, who you should recognize.
He's been like a scientist in other things, hasn't he?
He's probably best known for a role he had in the episode of the original Star Trek, The Trouble with Tribbles.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but he says the rock is sandstone. It's quite common. And, well, was it melted by the heat of the spacecraft? Supposedly.
Well.
But there's many other things that could do that.
Then you're going to need proof.
Well, what do we have? Got a piece of rock that was subjected to a bunch of heat. That's it.
Yeah. Well, they're going to think we're nuts. Well, I believe you.
But his opinion doesn't mean proof. Shit. Yeah. You're talking about the most significant event in the history of mankind. Really? They don't know that. But no one will believe you unless you can prove it. And what does Lou do? Shakes his head.
He shakes his head some more. Okay.
Just need some more help. And in the elevator, they are talking. And that's yours.
Now, how do we prove what we saw?
All right. Let's go at it from another angle. If the Air Force does have a UFO in their hands, where would they hide it?
Well, it'd have to be close to the crash site.
And someplace secure. Like a military base?
There are four or five bases near there.
Yeah, but it'd have to be one with the proper equipment to study it.
A lunar receiving station.
Hangar 18. Let's go find that thing.
With very, very little evidence, they were able to put together the solution to a mystery that the highest parts of the government are trying to keep secret, which is almost like next week's movie, where somebody is able to put together the solution to a mystery that has everybody stumped, but she happens to see somebody at one place and it's like, oh my God, he's him.
Yeah.
But the timing of the way that this scene was shot was actually good, because they're in an elevator and it was timed so that the conversation ended just as they got to the ground floor and they walked straight out. And it was like one continuous thing. They actually did this very, very well.
Okay.
So that now they have their new mission and we go back to Hangar 18 and Harry has an exciting announcement.
Kelso has deciphered the alien's language.
This is a translation of a document found aboard the spacecraft. Now, the translation is very rough and is incomplete, but if what we can read is true, and there's no reason to doubt that it isn't, then all of the previous information that we have had about the origin of mankind and the human race is absolutely false.
What are you talking about, Harry?
This is a report of a previous visit of the spacemen to Earth. This report speaks of the capture, the training, and the use of certain animals as slaves, both male and female. The slaves worshiped them as gods.
Then what they referred to as animals were pre-humans?
Yes. The report also speaks to the fact that the female slaves found it a great honor to be chosen to live with and to bear the offspring of the gods.
Good Lord.
You see, it's no coincidence that the spacemen are almost identical to us. It is not, Sarah, a case of two species developing, evolving independently of each other. Those ancient spacemen altered forever our evolution. They are the missing link.
I appreciate the fact that they laid it out like that, because otherwise it would have made no fucking sense.
you've seen Predator versus Alien, right?
Yes. Alien versus Predator. Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think of that?
That's the one in the pyramid.
Yeah.
It was good.
I like that one, but that's kind of the same thing, that the predators used the, like, the ancient people, all the different societies that had pyramids as like fodder to make aliens.
Well, wasn't the whole thing about predators, they were just hunting for sport.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the pyramid was their Shangri-La.
Correct. And they, and then, but one, it got, one got away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to nuke the whole thing. Yeah. And that's why they built the pyramid under the ice cap in Antarctica.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this whole thing is so crazy, so otherworldly, that Nan actually speaks, you know what you're saying? We are their children. We need to know why they're watching us. And goes back to DC and the fixer gets some coffee and Vaughn comes in, and good news, the president will take California by a landslide. Everything's buttoned down. 10 more days and we get four more years.
As long as we keep it under control.
And Steve and Lou are kind of, and he says, it's all covered. And Steve and Lou are chasing their tails in the desert. And Vaughn says this to the fixer.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
But the phone rings.
Yeah. Whoops. Steve and Lou have filed a flight plan.
They're heading to Texas.
Yeah.
50 miles from Hangar 18.
Yeah. Robert Vaughn tells the fixer that it's in his hands.
And then he does a loud sigh. And we see Steve and Lou in a rental car. And Lou wants to know why it took so long to get the car. If you go and you rent a car and it takes a while for them to get you your car, okay, I understand. You know, things happen. It's no big deal. You just saw an alien spacecraft. You've had people trying to kill you. If it's taken a long time to get your rental car, I'm gonna wonder about that a little bit.
Right. What's going on behind the scenes there?
And well, they had to wash it. And then Lou says, it's no wonder they're number 10. Are there actually 10 different major rental car companies in the U.S.?
I would say there's probably five. I thought he said they were number two.
Number 10, I thought.
I've got it in my notes as number two. I could be wrong. So could you.
But a couple anyway, of flunkies are following them.
Yeah, they're being men in black are following them. And all of a sudden, hey, man, we got no brakes.
And this is a thing I've never understood about in a movie or a television show when you find out you have no brakes. There's a couple things you can do. And one of them they actually do try, the emergency brake, which does not work.
Yeah.
But other things you can do is, well, first of all, stop using the gas.
Yeah.
You can throw it into park.
Right.
And it's going to fuck up the vehicle. But
it's going to save your life.
But lots of near misses, and they almost take out Kim Foss on the side of the road.
The Great White Muff. they go through a construction site, and then they go down a hill, and they crash into some barrels at a gas refinery.
Right, yeah. And the men in black, as you call them, are right behind them, and Steve and Lou are taking stock, and Lou apparently shit his pants.
Yeah, are you okay? Yeah, but our seat covers are ruined. We're definitely not going to get our down payment back.
And then the men in blacks shoot at them, and Steve and Lou run off into the refinery. I don't know a ton about refineries. Everything I know is from when I watched V.
Okay.
But I would assume, number one, you wouldn't want to be shooting in there.
No.
And number two, they would be secure facilities.
Yeah, they would be fenced off and everything.
But Steve and Lou are hiding behind a truck.
A big tanker.
And oh, now what? So they get inside the truck, and the next shot, they're driving a truck.
Yes.
That doesn't have a tanker attached to it.
Oh, it doesn't?
But in the very next shot, there is a tanker attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah. The men in black are following in their car. They're still coming. And I think Lou says, if this thing takes a bullet, boom. Lou finds a flare.
Well, he looks in the glove box first. I'm thinking, is he looking for a gun?
I don't know what he's looking for.
But he goes into a toolkit that's on
the floor. Maybe he's looking for a cherry magazine.
Well, it's probably.
Yeah.
And he finds a flare, and Lou says, trust me. And he crawls out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is not an action hero.
No, he's not. He's not an action hero at all.
But he gets on top of the cab, and then he makes his way to the top of the tanker, and he goes over the side of the tanker for no reason at all.
Well, I just think it's because it's the truck is moving around.
But fortunately, his paunch cushions the blow against the side of the tanker. He makes his way to the back, and then the men in black see him, and they're thinking,
what the hell is he doing? Jesus Christ, stop him!
And what has he done?
Well, he has opened up the valve to the back of the truck quite easily. I would think you would need a special tool for that.
Yeah.
That way you're not like parked at Flo's Diner and just
goes up and
yep, undoes it.
Well, I mean, he's an astronaut, so he's in shape and he's super strong.
Right. But the men in black shoot and they hit Lou, but before Lou falls off, he lights the flare and the flames engulf the men in black vehicle and they crash and die.
Yeah, they go over a ramp and then flip over a bunch of times and blow up. And Lou slowly falls off the truck and Steve sees this and he stops the truck and he runs over to Lou.
Lou, Steve, take it easy. You're going to be all right.
Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere until we find that.
Somebody call an ambulance.
I'll do it.
How?
Lou? Hold on. Hold on. Come on, hold on.
Colonel Bassett, you killed my son. Klingon Bassett, you've killed my son.
How exactly are they going to call an ambulance? You think one of those cars has one of those giant 10-foot whip antennas?
Maybe.
But
you just hear the guy in the back and go, I'll do it.
They actually show Lou, he kind of loses his grip as he dies, and Steve blinks a lot. And then he sets Lou down.
Yeah, and he goes back to the car and takes off.
He makes a promise to him. I'll find it.
Yes.
And, yep. Just here is
back.
He steals a car, though. Why would the car? Why would the keys be in it?
I don't know.
Why isn't somebody saying, "Hey, fucker, that's my car"?
I don't know. I mean, if you saw that, would you take the keys out of the ignition?
Yeah, or would I would.
You jump out to help.
I wouldn't jump out to help.
Well, that's yeah. You'd just sit in there and you'd watch. You'd film it.
I wouldn't have even stopped. I would have kept driving. I got places to be, man.
Yeah, but back at Hangar 18, Harry is called to the lab. They know why the aliens died. They were asphyxiated. There were vials that contained cyanide that jarred loose when hit by the satellite. Why would they have vials of cyanide?
And why would they just have them out?
Right. Like they're held back by a rubber band on the wall.
But Phil is in the UFO and there's music. It's not a recording. It's a local station. Phil has tapped into their monitoring. You think they get Sirius XM on that thing?
Yeah, probably. So they could listen to Howard Stern. Harry comes in and he hears the report of Lou dying. And
that Steve fled the scene.
Yes. And then also in the report, it says these two astronauts were responsible for the other astronaut's death. Well, that's bullshit.
And the satellite accident.
Yes. And so Harry gets on the phone with the general.
I just heard about Price myself. I have no details.
You knew about Steve and Lou being blamed for Gates' death?
Yes, I did, but...
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I've been checking it out. I've been trying to find out where that story came from.
I want to see Steve Bancroft. I want to know whether Lou's death had anything to do with what they saw up there in space, about what we've got here in Hangar 18.
No, you've got my assurance. There is no connection.
That's not good enough! I want to talk to Steve Bancroft myself. Now, if he's not here in the morning, I'm going to walk right out of here, and I'm going to hold a press conference, and I'm going to tell him things that you don't want to hear. NASA is not going to take the rap on this one.
You don't understand the whole picture, Harry.
Morrison, I'm telling you, if anything happens to Steve Bancroft, I'm holding you personally responsible.
Yeah, the general's lying his ass off.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
And Harry is making threats that would absolutely get him killed.
Yeah.
And phones are hung up. And at the White House, Vaughn is bemoaning the fact that their cover-up now has a body count.
Mm-hmm.
How did it get this far? And Fixer says, well, you know, we did the best, made a couple bad choices.
Yeah.
Did they? And then the general and the two guys from the White House kind of have this conversation.
And what are our choices now? We should have taken Price and Bancroft into our confidence like I wanted to do.
You think Forbes is serious about going to the press?
Oh, I can guarantee you he's serious. You know, there's a lot more to this now than salvaging an election. A lot of people can be implicated.
Well, thank you very much, General. I'm sure we are all aware of our situation. You think I enjoy being in the middle of this? We've got to start talking about alternatives here, considering options. Some decisions have to be made. This problem is not going to go away.
As long as Hangar 18 exists, the problem exists.
What the hell are you saying? Aren't we in this deep enough already?
Yeah, so deep, there's no going back. If we don't finish what we started, it's all over for the president, and it's all over for us. If we stop now, we don't stand any chance at all.
All right, let me hear your thinking on this.
Airplane crashes every day. even at military bases.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Yeah. But is it Phil in the that's in the cockpit?
Yeah, well, he rides up the elevator, and there's the same infinity mirror that Spock had in his quarters on the Enterprise.
Okay.
He sits in a chair, and what does he start doing?
Pushing buttons.
God damn it, stop touching stuff.
Yes, a computer readout comes out with different planets, and there's an alien language that's being spoke that sounds an awful lot like Cylon.
Doug likes it in the ass.
That's not true.
He's watching a video, and we see a bunch of planets in graphics similar to those shown before the attack on the second Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
And shows a bunch of locations on Earth. Based on the graphics, they look like targets because there's this thing kind of going in, but it's power plants, water dams. And now Steve is shown up at the gate of the military base, and he gives his ID.
Yes. One moment, sir. And the guard goes back into his little guard hut, and Steve drives through the barricade.
He crashes through the gate, and the guards give chase, and Steve is squealing around. He stops, backs up, parks.
Turns his lights off.
Just in time for the Jeep to come flying by. It's fortunate that this took place in the 80s, because with your car nowadays, your lights would still be on for like two minutes.
Right. Yes. But Steve is sneaking around. He dodges a Jeep, and then the men in black see him enter the hangar.
It's not the hangar. It's just a random building.
It's just a random building.
And a guard radios in and says what building he went into. But Steve has acquired a large wrench from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're at a CIA installation.
Los Alamos, which means the Alamos.
Yes. Thank you. They are loading what looks like two sets of giant nipples onto a Learjet.
It comes out of a Black Hugs and Kisses van.
Yes. And it's like, oh, wait a second. That's a bomb. But who's going to fly it?
A bomb?
No, but who's going to fly it? And then they go and get the control room. Oh, and it's a remote control.
Yeah, but the last two guys off of the jet, they get into the back of an 18-wheeler, and they turn on equipment, and the jet starts powering up. They're going to drone this thing.
Yes, they are.
I don't think that tech was available back then.
Probably not. Probably not. But back on...
Wait. Just before you go back, the guy is just ever so slightly moving the joystick, and the jet takes off. But there's a countdown clock on the radar screen. There are 385 seconds left. That means basically 6.5 minutes, which... ironically, is how much time is left in this movie.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But back at Hangar 18, people are milling around the UFO and go.
Harry is listening to some more Cylon voice. And he says, they're targeting power plants and self-defense installations. And then...
They're power plants, defense installations, and industrial complexes.
That?
Those symbols on the bottom there. Can you translate those?
I can try. Get the terminal up here, run them through the computer, see what I come up with.
Let's do it.
I actually have the exact translation of the text of what was at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, really? What was it?
Drink your Ovaltine.
But back to the guys remotely flying the jet, and there's 255 seconds left, just over 4 minutes. The plane is in the air, and Kelso has brought the computer, or at least a terminal, onto the spaceship and is trying to translate stuff. He's, oh my God, Phil, get up here. I got something. Go back to remote piloting. 116 seconds left, so it's under 2 minutes. Steve is just chilling in the warehouse, catching his breath, and someone's at the door trying the knob, and door opens. A shadow is seen walking in slowly, and
Steve, it's Harry.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he just say, hey, Steve, it's Harry?
Yeah. What are you doing here? Well, base security called and said that you were here. I'm going to take you back to Hangar 18. You'll be safe there. Will you?
If I'm Steve, I'm not trusting anybody right now. And Harry kind of seemed like he buddy fucked him. And there's 42 seconds left on the clock at this point. And back at Hangar 18, Harry takes Steve into the observation room. And there she is.
Whoa. But then, Steve gets a little bit pissed.
They didn't want us to talk about it. And there it is. Blue's been killed, you know that?
I know, Steve.
And they've been trying to kill me. We've been set up from the start! What the hell's going on, Harry?
Steve, I don't know. But we're gonna find out.
Come on.
I don't understand how Gary Collins didn't have a larger acting career.
He's not a good actor.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Yes. Makes more sense now. But once again, I still don't know if Steve should trust Harry here. They go down to the UFO floor. Phil comes out of the UFO. Kelso has a translation. Get in here right away. And they all go in. And now there are 5 seconds left in the plane timer. And one of the pilots from the 18-wheeler gets on the phone and says, evacuate your men. 5 seconds is not going to be enough time.
No, it's really not.
Guards start driving away from the facility. And on the UFO, Harry says, to put it in again, which I've said that. But Kelso says he's tried it 3 times. He keeps getting the same answer. They're all designated landing areas. They're coming back. Who all is in this UFO at this point? It's Harry, Steve, Phil, the Playboy doctor, and Nan, I think?
I think so. All of our principals. Yes.
Plane is making a steep descent, and Steve asks...
Yeah, they hear the jet, and they all look up. And
plane flies straight into the camera.
Yeah. It blows up the building. There's fire all around, but the ship is still intact.
Yeah, the UFO survived undamaged and is in the middle of the rubble, and then we get...
In today's headlines, reports continue to flood in about last night's massive explosion at Wolf Air Force Base in West Texas. Astronaut Stephen Bancroft, NASA Deputy Director Harry Forbes, and a small crew of technicians miraculously survived the blast. Initial accounts indicate they were shielded from the explosion inside what NASA claims to be an alien spacecraft. Press representatives from around the world have been gathering since early this morning in anticipation of a news conference to be held by Mr. Forbes this afternoon. As yet, there has been no official statement from the White House.
You know, we've done quite a few movies on this podcast from now. Or from the beginning of time, but this might actually be the longest
freeze frame
that we've ever had.
yeah, that was quite long, wasn't it?
And it seems like they just ran out of footage.
Just like the spaceship. That's all it was the freeze frame of the spaceship.
But the producers wish to express their appreciation of the following persons and organizations. Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization, the Center for UFO Research, Ground Saucer Watch, NASA, Rockwell International, City of Big Springs, Texas, and Ovaltine. So, credits are rolling.
Uh-huh.
My movie, I'll go first. It was not good. It was not as bad as I thought it was going to be from the beginning, but it was not good. However, after you say your bit, I want to revisit this for a second, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of the same thing. It was not good. It was entertaining to watch because it was so bad.
Okay.
There are bad movies that are just terrible to watch. This was a bad movie that was somewhat fun to watch.
Okay. I can see that. I would definitely not recommend this to anybody.
No, certainly not.
However,
especially a young person that wanted to see a cool space movie.
All of that being said, and we've talked about this with other films we've done, I think that this idea could actually make a good short series.
Yeah. Do you think there was supposed to be a sequel?
No.
No?
No, I don't think... There's nowhere to go. I mean, the aliens come back. That's it. I don't think there's anywhere to go with that. So, I mean, there's... And I guess we have the...
Play up the stream. Just play up the stream.
What happens with the election? Do they suspend the election temporarily?
Is this something that you would delay an election for? I don't think so. I don't think it's significant enough.
The discovery of aliens is not significant enough
to delay in a presidential election? I don't think so. Okay. A nuclear bomb dropped on WCTC, on Washington, D.C., or New York City.
Well, yes. WCTC would probably be a bigger loss.
Did you know that they're shutting down UW-Waukesha?
No way.
Yeah. It became a satellite campus of UW-Milwaukee. And then I think this is the last year that they're shutting it down after this year.
So where do you go to get your AD?
Your AD.
Associate's degree. Your 2 year degree.
That's the thing. I mean, you're taking away a lot from kids that don't have a lot of money that want to stay at home. Cause that's what I did. I got my associate's degree at UW Waukesha. You get all your core classes done.
Oh, there. That's a great idea. As long as those credits transfer, if I can save a shitload of money. It'd be absolutely back then, great though, idea.
They did. There were some classes that did not transfer to UWM. It was bullshit. I'm like, this is a UW system. Every credits should be transferring everywhere. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I guess WCTC is like your option then for an associate's degree. But the great thing about a tech school is you don't have to take as many bullshit classes as you did at UW Waukesha or UWM.
Okay.
Yeah. Women's studies and stuff like that.
Well, that stuff's important. But
did you know that only 41% of people that go to college actually graduate?
I believe it.
College, it's a huge fucking scam.
Well, okay. You know,
unless you're going to school to be an engineer or a teacher or something of that matter, where it's a skill, you don't need a fucking college degree. I did not need a college degree.
I didn't need a college degree for what I do. The thing is, going to college, it proves that you can go to college, and that's what it is. And the funny thing is, Biden is getting a ton of good press for enforcing a law that was passed under W. He's just actually enforcing the law as it was written.
Which law?
For debt forgiveness for somebody that's been in public service for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And I'd love to say that I'm torn on the whole student loan forgiveness, but I'm not torn at all. I think you should have to pay back what you borrowed because you signed an agreement. Is nobody, you know, twisted your arm and made you take this. It's just like when the subprime mortgage crisis happened and people are saying people should not have to pay off these mortgages because they were taken advantage of. It's like, no, they did it of their own free will. Nobody forced them to do it. The fact that they didn't read the right fine print or know what it all meant.
Right.
That's on them. They're entering into a legal agreement. I think that there are problems with both the cost of education and then also the student loan program because it's not dischargeable in bankruptcy, and it should be. It should just be a regular debt.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think that all these people should just be able to have all this money forgiven for nothing.
Right.
But,
Yeah.
Anyway, did Jen watch this film?
No.
And now it's time for Jen's 2 second movie review.
Didn't watch it.
That was Jen's 2 second movie review.
Jen!
Next couple of weeks might get a little bit dicier for that.
I'm willing to bet she's not watching next week's movie.
If you had described next week's movie, you'd use two different categories to describe it. One of which she loves, one of which she hates.
Oh, okay.
So, moving on.
Whatcha watching?
Okay, watch something called Stay Close, Survivor, up to date on The Bad Batch.
You watched today's episode?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know if Project Necromancer was what I thought it was. Because I thought it was about cloning Palpatine, but I'm not sure now.
There was a video game I played, Battlefront 2, and I can't remember if that was Necromancer. It was kind of like a Final Solution thing.
Okay.
I'll have to look into it.
I watched a 6-episode series called Keep Breathing on Netflix. It is somebody who crashes in the wilderness in Alaska.
This came out like last year, right?
Either late last year or early this year.
Okay. It's not a documentary series.
No, it's
okay. But it like, doesn't it cut back and forth?
Yes. It's a lot of flashbacks.
I did not. I think I watched part of the first episode and tapped out.
Nah, you're not missing a ton.
Okay.
I watched U.S. Marshals.
Okay.
And I've watched the next 3 weeks' movies.
Okay. Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. I started a lot of series this week, and I'm trying to find that next great thing that I want to devote time to, and I'm just not finding it. I'm getting about 10 or 15 minutes into these series, and I just know, and I'm not going to devote any more time than that. I am caught up in Bad Batch. I did watch a movie on Amazon called Ricky Stenicki.
I've heard of it. I have not watched it.
Okay.
Isn't that with, the wrestler,
John Cena. And then, who's the teen heartthrob that's built like he's all fucking jacked up. And, he was in like High School Musical and stuff. And
oh yeah. And he was in the Next Door Neighbors or something like that.
Yes. Oh yes. Yeah. With, Seth Rogen. That wasn't bad. Off the cuff.
Yeah. Just laughing at everything. Cause you're high.
Right. But he looks the guy who's the teen heartthrob. I think he just got done doing some wrestler movie where where he had to get really jacked up. And it's like his face doesn't show any emotion because he did so many steroids to get to that body. It's kind of weird. And it's a funny movie. It kind of peters out at the end. Like literally. The movie literally like peters out in the last minute and is just done. It's like, oh, okay, I guess it's over. But it's still pretty funny. So it's by the guys who did There's Something About Mary.
Farrelly Brothers?
Yeah, it's one of the Farrelly Brothers. I don't think it's both of them.
Okay.
But there's a lot of that type of gross humor. And so
did you notice I canceled all your library requests?
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I took care of all of it. So.
All right. You're the best.
Man. So you should be all set. Anything else?
No.
All right. Moving on to...
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. 3 degrees for next week's movie, and I think I like it.
Darren McGavin plays Harry in this week's movie. He plays Duke in 1976's No Deposit. Brad Savage plays Jay in that film. Savage plays Andrew in 1977's Island in the Stream. Hart Bachner plays Tom in that movie. Bachner plays Arthur Reeves in this 1993 return to the superhero genre.
At the very beginning of watching this film, I kept on calling him Dent because all I heard was Arthur.
Okay.
And I thought that was the path that it was going to take.
Ah.
I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a cartoon. And Jen hates cartoons.
Uh-huh.
But she loves superhero movies.
Okay. So she was torn.
We'll find out.
Okay.
So we are, and this has, you actually had a better link. I talked about it before because the guy, God, let me scroll. I got to go all the way back up to the top of my notes.
Okay.
From who is in this film? Mark Hamill. Gary Collins was only in one movie after this one.
Oh,
and he was in it with Mark Hamill.
Okay. Well, I didn't.
Well, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, Oracle of Bacon.
But I just put in Darren McGavin and Hart Bachner. And that's, you know, and the thing is with Oracle of Bacon is you have to weed through the TV movies and go, yeah, this won't work.
You can eliminate those.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you can in the settings.
Oh, I did not know that. Anyway, we are doing 1993's Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
So Danny Elfman's scoring in there.
But it's not Danny Elfman. It sounds like Danny Elfman. It's themed after the Danny Elfman theme.
Okay.
But it is not Danny Elfman. But yeah, so this is based off of Batman the Animated Series. So, yeah. A cartoon.
God damn it.
A true animated feature. I don't know why you're so disappointed in that. You hate cartoons.
I don't know. I liked Aladdin.
Okay.
Never had a friend like me. But I the Will Smith one was better, but
Didn't even see it.
Neither did I.
Ali, Ali, Abi, Ali, Ababa.
That's not actually not that bad. Yeah. So is it available anywhere? No.
It's on HBO.
Is it? I don't think so. Yeah. No, it's not.
That's where you got it from.
That's where I got it from a month and a half ago. It is no longer on Max.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll be darned. Wonder why. It's a Warner Brothers feature. You would have thought that.
Yeah, you would think so. I was shocked because I was going to watch it on there and I couldn't.
Huh.
Well, but I'm sure
you can buy it on video cassette somewhere from some flea market.
And it is half as long as my movie After.
Jesus Christ. I saw the time on that. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
that's a long movie.
It's not though. It is not a long movie. The time is long, but that thing clicks.
Oh, it does. I think I'm 45 minutes into it. The pacing of it is so fast.
It hits the ground pretty much running and it does not stop for 2 hours and 15 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of shit in it, but that movie clicks. I was shocked with how much stuff, and the credits don't end till like 20 minutes into that film.
Yeah.
So your film is half over.
That's how Under Siege was as well. The credits kept on going for like 15 minutes. And same director.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of Stewart and a bunch of other, there's a lot of connections to my movie, but anyway.
Yeah.
So next week we will be doing Batman, The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Kevin, Batman, The Phantom Menace. Batman Rise. Yeah. Kevin Conroy, Dana Delaney, a bunch of,
she still looks good.
I have not seen a recent picture of her, but it wouldn't surprise me if
she's not as good as Rosie O'Donnell, but still looks good.
Oh yes. Mark Hamill as the Joker, Abe Vigoda
as Fish,
John P. Ryan as the head of NASA. The cook from, what was the fucking wrestling movie that we did?
The Wrestler?
No. With Matthew Modine. Actually, no.
Oh,
Vision Quest.
Vision Quest, yes.
No, he's not. The gun store owner from Terminator.
Is that Coos?
That's Coos. Yeah.
Yours or mine? That was yours, right?
That was mine. Hart Bochner.
Hershey Bochner, yeah.
I think that's really it. Yeah.
So next Wednesday, we stick on this Wednesday cadence for the near term?
Yeah, the Wednesday works good. Wednesday's good. Yes.
All right. So cool.
Yeah.
So go ahead and bring us on home.
We are sub 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Well, you have a heart out, so I'm trying to be respectful of that.
I appreciate that. Well, we still have an hour and 15 minutes. What else do you want to talk about, Matt? Welcome to Guy Talk with Matt and Doug.
You want to jump into Batman and Bub? I am so excited about my bed for my movie. Excited. Except I wrote the bed before I rewatched the movie, and there's a major, major mistake in the bed, and I'm not going to fix it.
Okay. All right. Good for you. Good for you for standing your ground, Matt. Thanks for joining us. Reach out to the show, betamaxrewind@yahoo.com. Rate, review where you get your podcast. Helps with the algorithm, tickles the algorithmic overlord and whatever. I don't know. Words. I just said words there. Rate and review. And like us on Facebook and join us next week for a cartoon.
And I said it before, and you might have thought I was joking, but if anybody wants to do Christine, reach out to me. We can do Christine.
Why don't you do that? Like there's going to be a week this summer.
Jen won't do Christine.
Why? Will it give her nightmares?
No, she's like, no, I'm not fucking doing Christine.
Do it with one of your kids that's home for the summer.
I don't think either of my kids are going to be home for the summer.
No?
No. No, we're just empty nesters now. So
just walking around with your cock out all the time?
No.
No?
I could. I sleep in another room, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so we will see you next week, and maybe there'll be a music video come up. Maybe not. Maybe not.
A music video?
Yeah, you said you wanted to do a video of me. Like, I got really into this next bed.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Awesome.
Just leaning into it hard.
If you want to put that out there for the world to see, fine. Knock yourself out. I'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
Oh, I would just copy the actually original music video. And,
okay.
And just put myself in the place of their lead singer.
Okay.
So, anyway. Okay, great. So, we'll see you next week.
All right, man.
Bye.
Adios. He's not coming back, Mel. Sure, she's not coming home, Mel. Yeah.